Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your co-hosts, Liz and Landon.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, welcome back. So I wanted to start off this episode letting you guys all know I had originally planned to cover the Elizabeth Short case, the Black Dahlia. However, when I started to look into it, I had no idea that the case was as old as it was. And I really don't feel her energy at all, which usually means she's back, perhaps started her own life again somewhere or with somebody else. I did want to mention that I welcome cases from like 1980 as like the earliest ones I'll work on. Anything older will just be too hard to crack, at least from my own opinion, for me anyway. With that said, I figured why not do a case about the original Amber Alert? See if we can figure out what happened here. Now, Landon and I are going to go over the case details now.
Amber Hagerman was 9 years old and she was living in Arlington, Texas. She was in the Girl Scouts and she and her 5-year-old brother, Ricky, loved to ride their bicycles together. Then the unthinkable happened one horrible afternoon.
On January 13th, 1996, Amber Hagerman rode her bike into the parking lot of an abandoned grocery store. A man in a black pickup got out, forcefully took Amber off of her bike, and stuffed her into the cab of the truck. She screamed once and kicked at her abductor, says the only witness to Amber's abduction, Jimmy Kevel, called the police shortly after Amber's abduction. There were more than 50 police officers and federal agents looking for Amber, and they did not find her alive.
5 days later, a passerby found Amber's body in a rain-swollen creek approximately 4 miles from the abandoned parking lot. Her throat was cut, and authorities believed a thunderstorm swept Amber's body into the creek because apartment maintenance workers in the area didn't see anything out of the ordinary before the storm.
Amber's parents, Donna Whitson and Richard Hagerman, were shocked of what took place. They always held out high hopes for their daughter and that she was alive and would be found safe and sound. Amber's father even told reporters that she is still alive after the police chaplain had left their house.
A lack of information and other witnesses following the abduction may have slowed down any progress in finding Amber.
After Amber Hagerman's funeral, Diane, a mom herself, called into the local radio station. She had an idea. She figured if the local media sent out weather report alerts, they could do the same for missing kids.
There is not much about this case when it comes to evidence, and I know it can make it pretty difficult to putting all the pieces together, being that it's been 26, 27 years since she went missing. Is she still around in the spiritual world?
She was not easy to find by any means. In fact, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to find her to do it. She doesn't really trust people, and I don't blame her. She's been contacted by many psychics and mediums in the past, and they did try to get her story from her, but she shows me that she also didn't have a lot of information either. But with that said, I just told her to give me all the details she could tell me, and then we would try and put it all together. She did cross over and spends a lot of time with her family. She stays in the childlike form because she's scared to grow up. She is dressed up in a dress from like the early 90s, and she's wearing a bow in her hair and still has her bangs. She loves her brother so much.
I'm glad you were able to connect to her. What does she remember of that day?
I'm going to step back for a moment and focus on the few days prior to the disappearance because I think it's important. She's taking me on a bike ride with her. She shows me that her and her brother would race each other. She remembers how fast she could go and how fun it was. Her parents did everything in their power to give her the life that she deserved. She shows me that she would pedal really fast and just fly. It was fun. She shows me, as she takes my hand, that this man that she had been abducted by, this was not their first encounter. She had actually seen him twice, and from what she shows me, he may have been watching her for a while, maybe even seen her in a parking lot area beforehand, but not this particular location, even with just her family and friends. She shows me that this man was around, and he wasn't a stranger to anyone in the town. He was a good guy, at least on the surface level. Amber shows me that this man had given her candy in the past. She shows me that he was about 30 years old. She shows me that he had his own children and he had them back then as well. I don't believe that when he met her the first time, he may have had his kids around, at least in the vehicle, but they were definitely not around the second time. I feel like he gave her a treat and he had conversation with her. And I feel like he even knew the parents. I don't feel like he was Spanish in any way. I do feel like the man who seen her get abducted didn't at all get a good look of the man's ethnicity at all. I feel like this man was white with facial hair and he did have a tan and tan skin. I see that the tan was even cut off at the elbows. Looks like it was a farmer's tan if you ask me. I feel like he talked to her for about 10 minutes the first time he talked to her. She even shows me that he gave her some really yummy candy and she wasn't allowed to have any before dinner. But she was really excited about getting this candy. He told her he'd never tell her parents and he didn't want her to get in trouble and to make sure to promise him that she would keep their little secret. She decided to keep on to that secret since she didn't think he was planning on hurting her. I even feel like she forgot about it.
I remember hearing back in the day this was a typical way that men were able to abduct little boys and girls. I remember we were always told to stay away from men that offer candy or were in a blue or white van.
This definitely originated from this story as well. I also had that happen to me as a kid. We were always told to be aware of blue vans and men with candy.
What happened next with Amber?
She shows me that she was scared to replay this event, so she wanted to give me a little detail leading up to it first. She shows me that she was having a really good day. The weather was nice. She shows me her mother and father had such a warmth to them. Her dad always smiling whenever he would see her do anything, any tricks, cartwheels, you name it. Her mother always fussed over her and she loved that. She loved them both a lot and had talked highly of her family. She shows me that she was outside. This man approached her in the van and he had called her by name. She shows me she wasn't looking at him until she heard her name being called. She looked behind her and said, "Mr. T." I feel like it could be a Turner or something along those lines. Maybe even a Tuckner. He was slowly shifting his vehicle towards her while having a conversation. She shows me she was sitting on her bike and when he parked the car, he got out of his car and from what I can see, she shows me the man Jimmy across the street. He didn't see him directly. He only saw that he got out of the car. He thought that Amber knew because she was laughing with him. So she shows me he had a box of that candy he had before, but in the back seat. She started to get into the car to look, but he started to push her in. I feel like she did scream and kick and was kicking the back seat of the car. Jimmy had seen this a little slower, but didn't really comprehend what took place. But as his brain started to realize what happened, this man and screaming Amber was gone. Amber showed me that he had doors locked, and she was screaming over and over again, "Mommy, mommy." I feel the fear from her. She said the van felt like it was a trap. I feel like this Turner guy took her right to his home, which honestly wasn't even a 4 or 5 minute drive from where he abducted her. I feel like the candy he had in the back, he also had a couple of pieces in hand, which I believe had some sort of drug in it to get her to fall asleep. I feel like by the time he got to his place, she was out cold. She doesn't remember what happened next, but she tells me she never woke up again. If she did, she was drugged and killed by him. And maybe she was awake at times, but she pushes that all out of her mind. I can only imagine what took place here. She shows me that he killed her in his house, and then at nighttime, the same day, he removed her body from his home within 9 hours from the time he abducted her. She shows me that his intention the entire time was to kill her, and she shows me that he hurt little girls in the past, but he never killed someone before. She shows me that he never killed someone again. However, he has raped a few women in his life and molested a few kids. I don't feel like he got caught doing anything in relation to rape, molestation, but I do feel like something else happened. He has run into like DUI issues and a lot of connections to drinking related issues. I feel like he no longer is married to his wife or even have a relationship with his children. I don't necessarily feel like he was inappropriate with his children, but he didn't also put any effort into his kids. I feel like the wife left because of the abuse and perhaps even raping her as well. I also feel like he touched one of her nieces, but they didn't know for sure. I feel like the kids, who are adults now and raising their own kids, have decided to keep their own families away from him. She shows me that he spent a lot of time alone, drinking. He does work and stuff, but really barely does that as well. He's an angry older man now, and he can't handle it. She says she thinks he's going to die for drinking too much and having major health-related issues. She shows me that although he didn't serve time for his current crime with her, she says that he's suffering and he does feel some sort of guilt surrounding her passing. She shows me that he just snapped and he felt bad, and when he drinks, he calls out and says, "I'm sorry," often. She doesn't haunt him because she says he does that enough to himself. She said that he is getting his karma and she feels bad about it. She feels like he's mentally unwell and she believes in second chances. I also feel like he was there the second day that they were trying to find Amber as well. He wanted to stick close by to keep an eye on, tabs on what was going on.
Which a lot of child abductors and pedophiles, they like to insert themselves into the investigation. But what a good kid it seems like she was. How does she feel about being the reason the Amber Alert came about?
She feels pretty special about it. She shows me that a lot of kids died, even around her neighborhood before she passed on, and also didn't get the same justice, and it makes her happy to know that this difference has been made. She feels special to have her story as a reminder every single day, although she doesn't really like the circumstances behind it.
Of course, obviously, who wouldn't? Well, thank you for that, and for the freaked out listeners, she had this request a few times over from a few people. We are still looking for many different cases that are unsolved and that are just totally out there. Make sure that the case has at least a year old on it or close to a year. The email address is freakedoutlizlandon@gmail.com. Landon being spelled L-A-N-D-E-N. I find a lot of people miss that part. Now it's story time for Liz. I want to hear a creepy story that took place in your life with spirits.
Ah, my turn, huh? Well, I don't know what to choose. I guess I could go with the story with the man in the apartment building. That was pretty scary for me. So, I believe I was about 25, 26 years old at the time. I was living in Oshawa, Ontario, with my ex and my daughter. We lived in a family senior building. There were so many deaths that took place, but this one was the most shocking of all. We had an underground parking lot in my apartment building, but it was a really hot day and planning to go back out in a few hours. Just needed to come home for a bit before we headed out again. My ex and I both noticed, alongside of my neighbor, whom was a taxi driver at the time, had seen this man just sitting on the side of a parking lot, barely moving. I had suggested for my ex to go upstairs and take my daughter, and I would help assist this man back to his apartment. Well, me and the other tenant, the taxi guy driver, had asked him if he was okay and if he wanted medical attention. He seemed pretty confused as to what he was doing or where he was. I had never seen him before in my entire life. We both brought him back to his apartment and asked him if he wanted a drink or for us to call someone for him. He mentioned that he was dizzy from the sun and he just wanted to take a nap. We helped him to his chair and turned on his fan and TV and left him in the dark. That night, I remember it was raining and thundering and lightning after having a like 6-day heat wave. We went to sleep in the living room since our bedroom was too hot in the summer and the AC was only in my living room. I remember looking at my front door, right in front of where I was sleeping. I had seen him standing there in the doorway, and he was waving and smiling at me. He had turned his back on me and headed out. I opened my eyes like, what the hell? And he was gone. The next day was a Sunday, and the taxi driver that had helped me with him the day before was also in the elevator at the exact same time. A woman had been talking to another woman about a man's passing. We didn't know his name, neither one of us, but we did know his apartment number. I asked, or well, he asked, I'm really not sure which one of us asked, but they confirmed it was him. We were both stunned. We both felt terrible for not contacting 911. I remember feeling awful for days, and then later on, maybe like 6 to 7 months later, I had seen him a few times in the building, doing the same thing, waving. I felt him there every once in a while for the next 5 years. He would always kind of like say hello. I always felt like I could have helped him more. I would always say sorry, and he would tell me he was happy. He would come to me, though, with like a piece of jewelry, and my thoughts, I never understood what he meant. I was also not as advanced as I am now, and not able to control the visions as well as I can now. So I decided not too long ago to see if I could speak to him, since he had that bond in the past with me. And I feel like he didn't really come. But then, about a week later, I felt him pop in. I hadn't remembered what he really looked like. I had just seen so many people and spoken to so many spirits in the last year that I didn't place it. But he showed me that exact same jewelry as he did last time, and I guess that was his way to differentiate from the rest. He had showed me that his wife had also recently died and had lived 13 years longer than he had, and that I knew her. I didn't know she was married to him. I never put two and two together. And since she has passed on, they are together. He also showed me that he was trying to get me to tell her that he had found the necklace. I had no idea at the time, but the woman, I called her the nosy lady. She always knew everything in my life. She paid attention to my guests. She always gave me her opinion on things I wasn't too interested in hearing about. And I can't remember for the life of me what the issues were, but she seemed to have calmed down a lot since she passed on. And they're together. And it was very interesting. And I would love to be able to share this with the taxi driver and everyone else who loved him, honestly.
Wow, I remember part of that story. Thank you for giving me the rest of this.
No problem. I wanted to surprise you. I can't spend a lot of time surprising you anymore, so we're getting to that point in the relationship where my stories start to come on repeat and I need new ones for you.
We need to make new ones. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Oh, before you carry on, Landon, sorry to interrupt you. We will be having a special exclusive content released as well after this episode airs on the exclusive side of Podbean. If you are a patron subscriber, it is going to be a Q&A for Landon and I. We are going to be doing 5 questions each of questions we've never asked each other. So nothing is off limits. Carry on.
Well, that'll be interesting. Next week is going to be a big week. On our regular episode, we will be covering the story of Kendrick Johnson, and Liz has already started working on that case, and you guys won't want to miss it. She has dug even deeper than she did last time when she covered this story on TikTok.
Correct.
And if you aren't a patron on Podbean yet, I recommend you do so sooner rather than later, and she will be covering part 1 of JonBenet Ramsey. That will be in the exclusive content. And what Liz feels on this case as well. 2 pretty high-profile cases, so make sure you get your friends and your families hooked on this podcast too. The best way is word of mouth. Until next week, stay freaked out.